I'm Brina Garin, and you're listening to Hex Positive. Welcome, witches. This is episode 45 of Hex Positive. I'm your host, Brina Garin, here in the virtual studio with creative director Havoc and producer Penny. And this month, we're returning to a topic I covered a couple years ago, but which is once again popping up on my socials. I do seem to remember promising that I'd talk more about home warding and protection spells back in episode, 24? So this is me circling back. Hopefully next time I will circle back on something a little sooner than 2.5 years. Thanks ever so much, ADHD. But be that as it may, if you haven't listened to episode 24, Warding a Witchy Home, just yet, I do recommend checking that out before you listen to today's episode. There's quite a lot of baseline information there that's going to be helpful and in some cases necessary for fully understanding what I'm going to cover in this one. It talks about basic techniques, functional parameters, what wards can and cannot do, visualization and alternatives to visualization, anchors, structure, and casting and repair methods, plus a few other tips. It's, like I said, a very good baseline, a good place to start for context. There will be a little bit of overlap, but you'll still want the full picture. If that was Warding 101, consider this Warding 201. Don't worry, there's still no quiz, and the homework is encouraged, but still optional. Before we get into all that, and while my note-takers scramble for their pens, there are a few quick announcements. This month's featured products in the Willow Wings Witch Shop are all about growth and glamour. All kinds of things to help you boost your confidence, be your most authentic and fully realized self, and do some serious thriving in your craft. Make sure you stop by and check out what's on offer, especially our newest arrival, Glamour Bottle Charms. They're so cute. They've got a little silver mask charm. I love them so much. Visit hexpositive.myshopify.com to see everything that's available, and don't forget to sign up for the email list while you're there so you can get sneak peeks and discount codes every month. I will be at 2 markets this month, both in Richmond, the first weekend in April. On Saturday the 6th, I will be at the Vale Brewing Company on Belleville Street in Richmond from noon to 5 p.m. for Sip and Shop Saturday. This event is hosted by Mystic Markets, and you'll be able to find lots of delightfully witchy things from local vendors and grab a snack and a drink while you're browsing. Then on Sunday the 7th, I will be at Diversity Richmond on Sherwood Avenue for the annual Oddities Witch Market hosted by River City Witch Markets. This is one of their biggest events of the year, and the vendors are going to be bringing everything from antiques to artworks to taxidermy and lots more. I'll be bringing my usual wares to both events, including some items that I haven't added to the online shop yet. Ooh-hoo-hoo. They'll be available a little bit later in the year, but if you want to get them before they're available online to the general public, do make sure you stop by. I'm also excited to announce that I'm going to be a featured presenter at this year's Free Spirit Gathering, happening August 6th through 11th at Camp Ramblewood in Darlington, Maryland. For information or to register for the event, you can visit freespiritgatheringmd.org. I'll have more details about the events as we get a little bit closer to August, but in the meantime, Mark your calendars, start making plans. If you can make it, please do. This is my first really big in-person public speaking gig for witchcraft-related things, and I am a little bit nervous, but I'm also incredibly excited, and I'd like to thank the organizers of Free Spirit Gathering for having me. I am thrilled to be doing this, and I'm very much looking forward to it, and hopefully some of you will be able to join us. And just to wrap things up for my listeners in the Northeast, particularly in Pennsylvania and the surrounding environs, if you're interested in joining me for another kind of romp in the woods to battle some monsters and hit your friends with plumbing supplies, I would like to invite you to Game 2 of the 2024 season of Xenadria Productions Incorporated. This will be taking place the weekend of April 27th and 28th at Olivet Blue Mountain Campground in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. I've been running with XPI for over a decade now, and the company's been around for over 30 years, running a well-established and deeply immersive medieval fantasy LARP with a lively and very welcoming community where everyone can join in the fun, whether you're a veteran LARPer or just trying it for the first time. You can create your own character in an ever-expanding cube-shaped world with many nations, faiths, and professions to choose from. Learn swordplay, magic, alchemy, physicking, and other skills to help you on your journey. Join a faction or forge your own path. Join your fellow wanderers as we explore new lands and battle the forces of evil. Or if you'd rather, join the cast, get your monster on, and show those foolish mortals what they've got coming. On-site accommodations for lodging and camping are available. Yes, we have electricity, and yes, we have plumbing. Food is provided with your admission fee, and new player orientation is held before each event. Also, the staff and the players and everyone involved are super, super nice. If you have any questions or need any clarification at any point in the event, there's always someone to help. Visit Xenadria Productions, Inc., or the XPI Facebook, for more information, or check out our FAQs on the website at xenadria.com, and feel free to message the staff with any questions you may have. Pre-registration for Game 2 is now open on xenadria.com, so if you decide to join us, tell them Bree Landwalker sent you. So, now that all that's out of the way, let's get into it. Hopefully you've all got your notebooks ready, and if you're driving, please don't. I'll put up a partial transcript later, I promise. Just focus on the road. Okay, good. Now, I'm going to preface all of this with a great big illuminated title bar that says, "Your mileage may vary." I don't expect what follows to conform with or exactly match with everyone's idea of how wards work, nor is this meant to be any sort of expert opinion. Like I always say, I'll never call myself an expert. This is just things I've figured out that have worked when I did them. And it might be helpful for at least some of you out there, or at least it might present a different perspective, which is always nice to have, just for broader context. I will say, I've seen similar ideas put forth by other witches, most notably by Althea Sebastiani in By Rust of Nail and Prick of Thorn, which is an excellent book on warding and protection magic. So I do feel comfortable calling at least some of these ideas shared thought processes in the wider witchcraft community. Also, even though I've had this quantified in my witch book and my own practice for quite a few years now, and I've discussed it in bits and pieces on the socials, this is the first time I'm talking about the concept as a whole in a public forum, so please bear with me. Just as a quick review, wards are a type of protective spell that act as a barrier between a person, pet, place, item, or situation, and some kind of undesirable event or circumstance, such as bad luck, illness, theft, accidents, or magical harm. They can be as big or as small as you need them to be. They can be any shape or structure, depending on who's casting them. And they can be for general protection or guard against specific concerns. They should always be paired with practical action to ensure safety, since magic is never foolproof, nor is it a guarantee, and you can have as many or as few wards as feels appropriate for your situation. Today, we're going to be talking more about property wards. This is my catch-all term for wards that are meant to protect dwellings, vehicles, objects, or locations in general, as opposed to a person or a living being of some sort. Usually an animal, I suppose, if it's not a person. More specifically, we're going to be talking about some of the options you have regarding how those wards are constructed, what they do, and how to layer them if you're using more than one. This might take a little practice, especially if you're maybe a little newer to the craft, but it's a really good exercise for developing those skills and figuring out how things work. When I'm talking about warding, I tend to use the word interference to describe outside forces, events, or spells that try to get through that magical barrier. Because, in my view, that's basically what that incoming energy or whatever is doing. It's trying to interfere with your space or your workings or your situation. And it covers everything from malicious magic to human intrusion to undesirable events to simple bad luck. So just keep that in mind as we go forward. To start off, let's talk about some of the basic types of wards and what they do. In my practice, I work with six archetypes: active, passive, reflective, deflective, misdirection, and purpose specific. They're separated into these categories based on what they're meant to do, how they're meant to do it, and how they react to interference. And of course, there's some overlap, and we'll get to it. For now, let's just go with some basic definitions. Leave some room in your outline. I'll be explaining them in more detail in just a moment. There are two basic overarching types, active wards and passive wards, with additional subcategories underneath. At their most basic level, I define them by what they do when presented with interference. Active wards react in some fashion and do a thing. Passive wards just hold in place. Active wards are like home security. If the barrier is tested, there's a definite reaction of some kind, and what that is depends on how the ward is constructed and what you've told it to do. Passive wards, by contrast, are more like brick walls. It's just a barrier that's meant to stand in place between what you're trying to protect and whatever undesirable thing might try to get to it. If the barrier is tested, it doesn't react, it just holds. Those tend to nullify or just block incoming interference. And yes, I know technically a lack of reaction is a reaction, but for the purposes of this discussion, a lack of reaction is different from an active reaction. Reflective wards are like mirrors, and they're sort of a subcategory of active wards. If something hits them, it bounces back in the same direction it came from. They make a very good front-facing outer layer or a surprise inner layer if you're using multiple wards in the same location. Deflective wards perform a similar function, but rather than bouncing the interference back in the direction it came from energetically, it just passively shunts it off. Misdirection wards are distractions or illusions. This is another subcategory of active wards. When faced with interference, these wards react in some way that either confuses or distracts. If you're thinking Jedi hand wave, you've got the spirit. We'll get to some of the ways that can be accomplished in just a bit. And then there are the purpose-specific wards. These are protections that are keyed to a very specific task or situation or type of interference. They can fall under the broader categories, but their defining characteristic is you have one job. They're guarding against a particular thing or type of thing, and that is their entire function. Purpose-specific wards can be active or passive, depending on how you make them and what they're meant to do. Also, as a point of order, I tend to use a lot of nature-based images and concepts as inspiration for my ward models, but there's nothing stopping you from using ideas from concepts from pop culture, books, movie, television, games, and so forth. Take your inspo where you can get it. You're the only one the idea has to work for, and your models are not subject to peer review unless you want them to be. All right, back to the top of the list, and we'll go a little more in depth with each one. Active wards, as I said, react to interference. The type of reaction depends on how you visualize and construct the ward and what you tell it to do.
We'll be back with more Hex Positive after this brief sponsored break. This episode is brought to you in part by Creations by Chaos Fae. If you're looking to give your witchcraft space a cozy cottagecore feel, check out Creations by Chaos Fae for fine handmade quilted textiles and decorations. Right now, you can commission a custom piece through their shop, from altar cloths to tarot mats and lots more. Check out past projects and current creations at Creations by Chaos Fae on Tumblr, or visit their coffee shop to request a one-of-a-kind item you'll treasure for years to come. Commissions are only open through June 1st, so make sure you don't delay. If you feel daring and want to lean into the chaos, you can use code GOHOGWILD for 15% off your order. Some restrictions apply. See post linked in the show notes for details. Support small business and cozy up your craft with Creations by Chaos Fae. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you visit the Willow Wings Witch Shop. You can pick up copies of all my published works, plus homemade magical powders, spell kits, and charms for all occasions. Use code HEXPOSITIVE to get 10% off your order. While you're there, make sure you sign up for the email list to receive monthly newsletters with announcements, featured items, merch drops, and special discount codes. Visit the shop at hexpositive.myshopify.com today, and happy witching! And now, back to the show.
For example, you might make an active ward that's a wall of fire, and it deals with incoming interference by burning it up. Or you might make one that's more like a moat or a bog, and incoming interference is halted, sinks to the bottom, and rots away. Or you might create a ward that ensnares rather than immediately destroying the interference. Think vines or brambles. However you choose to deal with it, however you choose to visualize it. The point is, when the ward is hit, it does something. Passive wards react to interference by not reacting. Their reaction is, nope, stop that. Not happening. This is your basic brick wall. They're great for protections that have to stay in place for a long time, or if you want something that's fairly simple and uncomplicated. It's also a good starter if you're just learning to ward your space, or as a base to build your other layers on. There's still plenty of room for creativity as far as the structure and the casting go, so don't feel like this is meant to be restrictive or boring. They're basic, yes, but that's not a bad thing. Reflective wards, as I said, act like mirrors. Sort of the magical version of I am rubber and you are glue, only not necessarily with the glue part. Actually, when I'm constructing the anchors for reflective or misdirection wards, there's nearly always a mirror involved at some point in some fashion. It's just an easy go-to component that makes sense for what the spell is meant to accomplish. You can tailor how you want the reflective aspect to work, whether it's just a direct addressee not found return to sender or an energetic rebound with some heat on it. Also, I feel it bears mentioning that reflective wards work best when there's a possibility of deliberate malicious action behind the interference. Pulling a return to sender really only works if there's, well, a sender in the first place. So reflective wards are great for ill-wishers and baneful spells, but won't do terribly much for standard everyday bad luck. Deflective wards, on the other hand, do cover that type of interference. Instead of flinging the interference back, they just passively direct it away. Think of it a bit like a magical umbrella. And for those about to raise a hand, no. Deflecting interference away from yourself or your home does not mean some poor random schlub in your immediate vicinity is going to catch it. I mean, if you want to bounce bad luck off your house and onto your asshole neighbor, that's certainly an option, but it's not a default. In my experience, deflected interference tends to dissipate or rapidly diminish to nothing once it's been redirected. Misdirection wards are just fun. This is anything that makes the warded location harder to find, less noticeable or less interesting, or blatantly goes, "Hey, look over there!" I've found that these work best when the effect is subtle. Like all persuasion, and this is technically a type of persuasion magic, even though it deals mostly with perception, it works best when the target thinks they came up with the idea themselves. And while wards themselves are not automatic attractors of attention or malicious action, a 50-foot neon sign flashing, "Ignore me!" is not going to help you go unnoticed. Some of my favorite misdirection wards are things that I scaled up from personal protections. Yes, including the Jedi hand wave. It's iconic for a reason. I had a spell back in my college days that I called It's Just the Wind, for when I had to walk back to my dorm alone after dark. Oh, was that a young woman walking alone through the campus? Nope, just the wind. Scale that up for a dwelling and you get nothing to see here, just a house. Hey, is that the place we want to go to bother somebody? Nah, nothing interesting there, it's just a house. As I mentioned, this is another place you can use mirrors as an effective component. Think of those carnival mirror mazes and how confusing they are, how easy it is to get lost or disoriented. Apply that same idea to a ward. You can even overlap it with a reflective layer for the sake of efficiency if you want to. Put them in the same focus or in the same casting. Purpose-specific wards are a lot more nebulous. These, like I said, are made to do a particular thing. This is a helpful tactic when you have a particular concern to address in your warding, or if you're layering your protections, or if you can't think of a way to work a particular thing into a larger spell without sort of muddling or destabilizing the whole structure. This is where the mileage is probably going to vary the most, since we all have different concerns and different needs when it comes to protection magic. But it's a super helpful device to keep in your back pocket, especially if you find yourself going, "Oh, damn, I forgot this one thing." Purpose-specific ward covers that one thing, and your butt. I talked a little bit about layering back in episode 24, mostly as it applied to my own practices, so we're going to revisit that again for a minute. Layering is pretty much what it says on the tin. It's multiple layers of wards in, on, or around one location. And whether you're using it to include various effects or shield from multiple different things, or just because you can't decide how to squeeze it all into one working, layering helps to delegate tasks so you're not trying to put all your eggs into one big magical basket. Spells can be made to do multiple things, of course, But if you try to put too many variables into one spell, it can kind of muddy things up and make it less effective. With wards, layering helps to solve this problem. Delegating protective tasks to different spells or layering your wards, whether you patchwork or overlap, does mean more spell work, and you'll need to keep track of it, but it can also make things clearer and more effective, and it reduces the risks of multiple assignments in one working accidentally contradicting each other. Does this mean you may end up with a bit of a pastiche? Perhaps. But again, this only has to work for you. It doesn't matter if it's neat or pretty or perfectly organized, so long as it works. In all of this, it's important to remember that wards are not impermeable, and they are not a force field. Yes, even if you picture them as one. They can't keep out absolutely everything, and you do still have to take practical safety measures in order for them to work. It helps to think of wards more like a series of obstacles or a very fine filter. They won't catch everything, but they might diffuse, diminish, deflect, distract, or destroy the worst of it, and increase your chances of things remaining peaceful and harmonious and hopefully accident-free. When you're putting your layers in place, I do recommend planning things out first if you're doing it all at once. Decide what you want to accomplish, how that's most easily organized, and how many layers that's going to take. Then pick what kind of ward you're going to use for each one, how it's going to function, what it's going to cover, and how you're going to construct it. Pick your anchors during this step as well, whether you're using the structure of the building itself, or making something, or using a pre-made object, or just putting railroad spikes in your flower bed. Decide when you're going to do the casting, make sure the area is clear of obstacles on the day, and prepare your materials ahead of time. Also, hydrate. Warding is thirsty work, in my experience, more so than most other types of magic, especially if you use incantations. If need be, you can create layers as you have need for them as well after that initial casting. I do still recommend keeping track of things just so you know what's covered, when the spell was put in place, and what techniques you used. This is purely from an organizational standpoint, but it does help when and if you have to go in and do repairs later, unless you set things to fade over time or just tear everything out and start over fresh from time to time periodically. On the topic of repairs, I find that it helps to think of the process the same way that one might think of a fix for a physical object with the same structure as the ward. If it's a brick wall, that's mortar and spackle. If it's a web, it's weaving in new threads. If it's a curtain, it's patchwork, and so on and so forth. And yes, with some structures, you do have to remove and replace bits rather than filling in gaps, but it's still the same principle. It's likely that your preferred warding technique will evolve over time, too. You may find it easier to start with passive wards and then add different qualities or visualizations or active effects later. And I do suggest practice. Practicing your warding technique is a nice, simple, low-stakes way to sort of play with your magic, figure out what works best for you, and try new things. And if visualization is hard for you or it's just not your thing, you can always employ movement, speech, gesture, drawing, writing, or physical object modeling as a way to help you mentally and visually define what you're doing. Now, like I said at the top of the episode, the homework is optional but encouraged. As a creative exercise, use the concepts outlined in this episode to try and come up with as many ways as possible that you could construct a set of wards for your home, your personal living area, or your workspace. Combine different types of wards, active, passive, and so forth, with different visualizations, models, and purposes, then come up with different ways to anchor and layer them. If something strikes you as particularly intriguing or suited to your particular needs, try putting it together as an actual spell. And if you need any tips on how to write your own spells, I suggest you check out episodes 6 and 7, both labeled Come In for a Spell. If nothing else, this exercise will help you get a better idea of how your own ideas about wards and property protection spells work, and what methods and models are best suited to your situation and your craft. So, that about wraps things up for this month, just a short one. I will have that partial transcript available on my WordPress, and I'll link it in the show notes so you can review all of this in print form at your leisure. As always, Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network, where you can find shows ranging from tabletop RPG to true crime to witchcraft, including our fabulous sibling show, BS Free Witchcraft, hosted by the wonderful Trey Dorn. Make sure you check out the new forums and join us on Discord to chat with show creators and fellow listeners. Please remember to rate and review the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening. Support the show by joining my Patreon for as little as $1 a month for early access to new episodes and bonus content when I'm not horrendously late. And, of course, come and visit the Willow Wigs Witch Shop over at hexpositive.myshopify.com. Check out the linked Redbubble shop for additional show merch and watch my socials for forthcoming announcements about live events and new merch drops. Until next time, I'm Bree Nick-Aaron, reminding you to stay safe, wash your hands, and whenever possible, try something new. Hex Positive is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Check out everything they have to offer, including our sibling podcast, BS Free Witchcraft, over at nerdandtie.com. Intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. Visit BreeNickGarren.wordpress.com for show notes, announcements, and upcoming events. You can also follow me at BreeNickGarren on Instagram and Bree Landwalker on Tumblr. My books are available on Amazon and in the Willow Wings Witch Shop, and if you'd like to support the show, please visit patreon.com/BreeNickGarren. Stay safe, wash your hands, and remember, always practice safe hex.